talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, Moneycoin, Yourcoin, Blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Holder, you've
got to
get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
The time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome, folks, to Cabal Empire Exposed, your host, Joaquim Hagopian. Here we are up to October 28, 2022, with most of the year gone and only, what, 2 months, little more than left. So yeah, what a year it's been. As we race to Armageddon, it seems that's the theme again this week. I'm going to read another article I wrote. I'm getting tired of this topic. You know, there's this desensitizing effect. If you get saturated with a particular topic, then it loses its effect or its a concern, you know. And that's kind of the way it is, I think, to quite a few people when we talk about Armageddon and nuclear war and all of that. Oh, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. In the meantime, there are power players out there that appear to be moving straight to it. Now, yeah, maybe it's just a game of chicken and they won't really do it. And we will live through it. Maybe, but maybe not. And they keep doing more and more each week to indicate that it might be more than just a child's game they're playing. So, let me, without further ado, get to reading my latest article that I wrote this week. And I entitle it, West's nuclear false flag to hit Central Europe to blame Putin is imminent. West's nuclear false flag to hit Central Europe to blame Putin is imminent. The ongoing saga of an imminent false flag continues to unfold each and every day as we grow closer to the November 8th U.S. midterm election.
though the Western media, doing elite's propaganda bidding, is focused on the lie that a weakened, desperate, increasingly mentally unstable Vladimir Putin is planning to use tactical nukes in Ukraine or beyond, intended to pave the way for global acceptance that the out-of-options deranged despot from Russia is the world threat, terrifyingly plunging humanity towards self-destruction. All one has to do, though, is simply review past history to know that the Western windbags are just spreading more of their bullshit, calling it breaking news. Again, for centuries, fear and terror are key operative words elites use repeatedly to manipulate and control emotions, perceptions, and behavior of the masses. This hybrid world war we are now engaged in, like it or not, is as much an information war for mind control as a potential kinetic military world war between nuclear powers. Back in May 2022, famed filmmaker Oliver Stone stated on Twitter, quote, "I wonder if the U.S. is setting a stage of a low-yield nuclear explosion, killing thousands of Ukrainians to blame Russia, regardless who launched the device." Unquote. Earlier this month, an interview of another West Point graduate, class of 1976, that I went to school with, Colonel Douglas McGregor, who is a military analyst with rather astute sound mind, he had this to say, quote, "The Russians have never made it abundantly clear that they regard nuclear weapons as purely retaliatory. That is to say, unless someone attacks them with a nuclear weapon, they have no intention of using them, and they don't need them." Unquote. A stroll down memory lane exposes the extensive U.S. history of notorious false flags specifically used with intent to start American wars. Staged fake events conspired and executed by the elites in order to falsely blame others as the go-to means to instigate another U.S. war is all too commonplace. Virtually every U.S. war since 1898's Spanish-American War, and remember the Maine, the fictionalized jingoistic Randolph Hearst newspaper headline used to push America into another imperialistic war against Spain that eventually prompted U.S. to steal Puerto Rico, Philippines, and Guam. Irrefutable FDR's complicit foreknowledge of the Japanese attack on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor, set up by a U.S. embargo on Japan in 1940, that led to the attack on another stolen U.S. territory, Hawaii, killing 2,403 innocent Americans, used as cannon fodder to justify U.S. World War II entry. Not unlike the over 1,100 passengers, victims, sunk on the Lusitania, used as more cannon fodder to manipulate U.S. entry into World War I. Then, there were little-known U.S. covert incursions into North Korea prior to the breakout of the Korean War. Paramilitary commando saboteur missions organized by the U.S. Army Counterintelligence Corps baited and precipitated the North Korean invasion of South Korea to mark the official start of the war in June 1950. The following decade, the bold-faced lie that North Vietnamese gunboats fired on U.S. Navy vessel in the Gulf of Tonkin in 1964 was used as the next U.S. false flag to start the nation-dividing decade-long Vietnam War. The Project for a New American Century neocon think tank spawned, quote, the new Pearl Harbor, the precursor to the U.S.-Israeli 9/11 false flag, killing nearly 3,000 Americans to usher in the U.S. War on Terror for the Zionist Greater Israel Project, to justify invasions of Afghanistan and Iraq, to chase CIA asset Osama bin Laden, a.k.a. Tim Osman, and fake WMDs respectively as the false flag excuse for yet two more long wars killing 12.5 million Muslims and about 9,000 Americans. So many notorious proven falsehoods regularly deployed by the D.C. battering ram, initiating every engineer banker's war for well over a century. All war crimes against humanity are committed by the same usual bloodline suspects since the Napoleonic Wars. The elite's international criminal cabal puppets in Washington, D.C., conveniently at will, serve as the Khazarian Mafia enforcer, bully, and battering ram. And during the last three decades, to maintain U.S. unipolar hegemony as a stepping stone toward establishing one world government tyranny. By 2014, the deep state neocons were at it again, illegally overthrowing Ukraine's democratically elected president Viktor Yanukovych for favoring alliance with Putin's Russia over the U.S. NATO West, taking us up to the planned but thwarted March 2022 invasion after Eric Prince, the CIA, and U.S. NATO trained Kiev neo-Nazi battalions to kill more than 14,000 ethnic Russians already purged between the Donbas region declaring its 2014 independence from Ukraine and Putin's February 2022 incursion. But that incursion, Putin beat them to the punch with his special military operation to denazify and demilitarize Ukraine, cleaning up the devil's playground filth from the poisonous Department of Defense funded bioweapon labs, rampant organized crime, trafficking, child sex slaves, human organs, drugs, and illegal arms on the black market where most of the West's Save Ukraine weapons end up. It's a cesspool, and Putin's doing the world a favor cleaning it up. By globalist Cold War design, DC's pathological fixation to encircle Russia with hostile NATO member neighbors, complete with U.S.-made nuclear warheads aimed at Moscow, despite repeated broken promises of not one inch eastward, all show how propaganda deception is malignantly used for violent destruction and control by America Incorporated's military-industrial complex that President Dwight Eisenhower warned us about in his January 1961 farewell address. That was 61 years ago. For a very long time, this same criminal cabal has used war, pandemics with recent deadly vaccines, economic depressions, and unnatural disasters via weather warfare to both profit from and control a subjugated, preyed upon, largely duped, and depopulated Earth inhabitants by divide and rule deception and fear. But with the COVID pandemic overreach, where now the public is largely refusing any more pandemic kill shots, just over 2% in U.S. foolish enough to take the latest booster after more than a month and a half of it being out. Because it has been accepted, the reality is they are extremely dangerous to human health. And then the created tensions of an impending wag-the-dog nuclear war against Putin over Ukraine in order to blame Russia for the 2016 election and the elite's manufactured crises of inflation, food and fuel shortages, exorbitant cost of living increases, all for genocidal purposes where the failed kill shot isn't killing us enough. Yet, despite this grave reality, the primary U.S. public health agency with the CDC's decision this week to incorporate the known harmful lethal non-vaccines as part of every American six-month-old infant child's immunization schedule is the most heinous crime of them all. Humanity and children need justice against these criminals, flagrantly rubbing their genocide in our face. So, with this despicable backdrop, all based on irrefutably proven historical facts, it becomes a no-brainer to realize what the Khazarian Mafia is now up to. The deep state cabal, represented by the Anglo-American Zio Empire Axis of Evil, comprised of the ruling elites that are the planetary bloodline overlords, out of desperation for being exposed for their unlimited genocidal crimes against us, have now launched their latest false flag operation, their perfect storm, convergent engineered crises as their grand finale destruction that genocidal architects King Charles and Klaus Schwab affectionately call their Great Reset. Increasing circumstantial evidence based on history indicates that a U.S.-UK false flag nuclear attack on Ukraine and or another targeted European ally is imminently in the works within the next few days. Leading up to the likely imposed global martial law, effectively canceling America's midterm election. The conflict in Ukraine was taken to another level once the U.S. carried out terrorist explosions on the Nord Stream pipelines in the Baltic Sea against Germany, starving it out of fuel, followed by, shortly, Ukraine's terrorism attempt to destroy Kerch Bridge, linking Crimea to mainland Russia. Several subsequent weeks of Russian cruise missiles and Iranian-made kamikaze drone attacks continued to degrade both Ukraine military and energy power infrastructure, leading up to 40% destroyed. Putin mobilization effort will be complete within the week, paving the way for fresh troop offensives just as winter begins to set in. The near worn down and worn out Ukraine military will not last, as the cabal is using them to the very last man standing as cannon fodder. In the meantime, Ukraine continues shelling the Russian border city of Belgorod last Saturday, killing two Russian civilians, as well as shelling on a regular basis still for, what, now 8 months or so? The Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe. The most recent indicators of a coming false flag, reinforced by the known historical pattern that renders the prospect of a false flag operation highly impending, is to be executed any day now. In my last article, I detailed the media's extensive coverage, reporting a possible upcoming false flag, with Western media fingering Putin, the usual culprit, while Russian and independent media primarily cite the West, specifically the U.S. and U.K., as most probable perpetrators of an impending nuclear false flag attack, which by October 21st, my October 21st piece presents the mounting credible circumstantial evidence. The specific provocations by Ukraine center around a potential dirty bomb, a conventional explosive combined with radioactive materials, heavily reported in Russian press, that could be used to trigger a massive explosion large enough to destroy the Kherson Dam that would flood the entire region, wreaking a massive death count, and hence the precautionary evacuations by Russia. The tactical nuke of a dirty bomb detonating in Ukraine, currently attracting so much internet attention, may well be smoke and mirrors distraction. During this past week, much activity and media focus from both sides have been on the Kherson region, with Western accounts maintaining that not only are civilians being forced to evacuate, but that Russian troops are also said to be withdrawing from the area west of the Dnieper River, falling back to positions east to, quote, avoid a devastating rout, unquote. Both Russian media and Russian bloggers insist that, aside from the false flag dam threat by Ukraine causing civilian evacuation, Russia has actually been moving fortified reinforcements into Kherson City, crossing from the east and advancing west of the Dnieper River, and that, in all likelihood, once the Russian troop buildup is accomplished, which will be done by the end of this month, several days away now, Russian Minister of Defense Sergei Shoigu, on October 23rd, contacted four of his Western counterparts. According to RT, in the early afternoon, Shoigu had a conversation with the French defense minister, Sebastian Lecornu, to discussing, quote, the increasingly alarming situation in Ukraine, which is consistently veering towards further uncontrolled escalation, unquote. A short time later, Shoigu contacted his Turkish counterpart to address the provocation threat of a potential, quote, dirty bomb by Ukrainian forces. Next came a phone conversation Shoigu shared with UK Minister of Defense Ben Wallace, who allegedly refuted the Russian claim that credible sources both in and out of Ukraine warned that the West is working with Ukraine to stage a false flag operation of either a dirty bomb or low-yield nuclear weapon. Finally, information was released reporting that Shoigu was in contact with U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin III over the developing deteriorating situation on the ground in Ukraine. Again, Austin assured the allegations were not to be believed, but it's not like this retired four-star general is trustworthy. A CENTCOM commander from 2013 to 2016, General Austin was in charge of all U.S. fighting forces in all three Middle Eastern wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, from 2013 to 2016. Serving under his treasonous fellow black Manchurian commander-in-chief, responsible for purging nearly 200 top generals and admirals loyal to the U.S. Constitution during his first 5 years in the White House. Austin's launched a $500 million boondoggle program in the Middle East designed to defeat the menacing ISIS terrorists, but it totally backfired. Virtually every one of the Syrian rebels that Austin supposedly trained to defeat the Islamic State terrorists in the end wound up joining the enemy camp. As a result, ISIS grew and prospered under Austin's incompetence. In fact, under his watch, ISIS expanded exponentially as the fastest growing, largest terrorist group in the entire world, overnight wreaking horrendous havoc throughout the Middle East, gaining control over enormous portions of both Iraq and Syria, while committing the most egregious acts of terrorism, all the while, in reality, ISIS served as a covert proxy ally, supported and financed by the U.S. and Israel, along with Arab Gulf states that include the Wahhabi-based Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, as well as Turkey. While General Michael Flynn was director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, he strongly advised Obama against backing ISIS. Yet, Barack Hussein, Secretary of State Hillary, his CIA chief closet Muslim John Brennan, some say like Obama being a Muslim, and General Austin as the top U.S. Army commander of all three U.S. wars in the region, covertly gave Islamic State terrorists new life. Little Lloyd Austin has certainly come a long way from his West Point beanhead days when I was his assistant squad leader. Tasked with destroying ISIS, General Austin ensured that the terrorist organization continued to grow and flourish by leaps and bounds. In contrast, for doing the honorable right thing, DIA General Flynn was fired by Obama, who later used the FBI to entrap and persecute the retired General Flynn, who committed no crime, yet resulted in a travesty of justice in February 2017 when Flynn was removed as President Trump's first national security advisor. Flynn knew too many pedophilia secrets. Bureaucrat politician General Lloyd Austin like the fallen, scandal-prone, disgraced CIA director General Petraeus, both punched their ticket to the top as Machiavellian ingratiating order followers. In a who-you-know world, it pays to get chummy with fellow powerful treasonous criminals like Joe Biden, who first met Austin while Iraq commander in 2010. Biden wrote of his bromance in a December 2020 fluff piece for The Atlantic after nominating him as his Secretary of Defense. Quote, this is Biden. When the Islamic State emerged as a terrorist threat in Iraq and Syria, endangering the security of America's peoples and allies, President Obama and I turned to Austin, who then led U.S. Central Command. He designed and executed the campaign that ultimately beat back ISIS, helping to build a coalition of partners and allies from more than 70 countries who worked together to overcome a common enemy. Big fat lie. Despite Austin being a major player on the treasonous Obama team that secretly created, funded, and trained ISIS terrorists to then spread terrorism with expansive bloody rampages all over Syria, Iraq, and beyond, during President Obama's premature Iraq withdrawal, as CENTCOM general, Austin presided over a rocky period which witnessed the emergence of ISIS. Members of a Republican congressional caucus wrote, prior to his nomination, General Austin implemented a number of the Obama administration's failed strategies in the Middle East, including turning a blind eye to the expansion of Iranian-backed militias in Iraq, which occurred under his watch. As the quintessential testimonial to the Peter Principle, General Austin has risen to his highest level of incompetence. But then, in the Luciferian world, everything is inverse. Talk about incompetence, the woke Defense Secretary Austin went to bat shit crazy over the LGBT agenda, ensuring that cross-dressing transgenders feel comfortable wearing women's clothes in the mess hall. Austin's incompetence permeates his 4-plus decade military record. As the civilian boss now in charge of the all-important U.S. military departure from its 2-decade longest-running war in history, the humiliating defeat in Afghanistan, responsible for over $100 billion tax-paid waste, handing over more war material to the enemy while abandoning American citizens in the country, his parting shot was allowing yet a few more U.S. soldiers to be massacred at the airport. Austin is a complete disaster and disgrace. But that's not all. He and Uncle Joe forced kill shots on all the U.S. armed forces, killing and disabling huge numbers of our soldiers to intentionally weaken America's fighting capacity to defend our national security. He is not only among the most incompetent bureaucrat generals, but like his boss, he's a traitor as well. Disappointed falling out of NATO member Turkey, these days is clearly turning its back on the terrorist-backing West to establish cozier relations with Russia, having already applied to the BRICS Economic Alliance. Additionally, Russian natural gas is expanding the Turkstream pipeline to pump its lifeblood fuel source, not only to increase Turkish consumption, but allow its ally to serve as a supplier, extending the pipeline gas to other nearby regions, which include the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. As a result, Turkey is allowing freer access through its Dardanelles Strait, permitting more Russian submarines to patrol the Black Sea in order to step up Turkstream pipeline security to ensure prevention of more Nord Stream-like sabotage by vindictive United States. The Russian press releases of the first three conversations between Defense Minister of Russia Shoigu and his counterparts specifically mention, quote, about possible provocations with the use of a, quote, dirty bomb, whereas the subject matter with Austin disclosed only that Ukraine's developments were addressed. The Pentagon claimed that during his phone call, Austin had, quote, rejected any pretext for Russian escalation. Also on Sunday, October 23rd, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken spoke to Ukraine Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba in order to reject Russia's false allegations that Ukraine is preparing to use a dirty bomb on its own territory. Kuleba denounced Moscow's claims as absurd and dangerous, adding, quote, Russians often use others of what they plan themselves. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Based on the atrocious track record of puppets out of both Washington, D.C. and Kiev and their lack of credibility, anything uttered from their lips must automatically be discerned as highly suspect, most probable lies. With the latest hullabaloo over the weekend, talking head David Petraeus was carted out again, warning that the U.S. may act alone, even without NATO, to enter the war in Ukraine to directly oppose Putin. While Petraeus, CIA director, he was too busy having an extramarital affair to bother protecting the security of Americans, including the U.S. ambassador at the embassy compound in Benghazi, Libya. They were all slaughtered under his watch as CIA director. While head general, losing both the Afghan and Iraq wars, Petraeus was too busy privatizing both the U.S. military and soon the CIA, making U.S. foreign policy covert and less accountable, so Eric Prince, Blackwater mercenary outfit, can commit war crimes in Iraq, and he trained a lot of neo-Nazi troops in Ukraine. And now this is the guy, Petraeus, the mainstream whore's go-to for the latest war propaganda and disinformation. The most recent Petraeus interview is intended to prep American citizens for U.S. soldiers to soon be fighting and dying in World War III, sent to kill Russian soldiers in Europe. The insane saber-rattling threat becomes concrete on-the-ground reality with the general's interview co-timed with national news coverage that the U.S. has already entered the war in Ukraine, fighting our nuclear arch-rival Russia. CBS News just reported this last weekend that the imposter Biden regime has already sent an initial combat deployment of 4,700 soldiers from the famed 101st Airborne Division, now stationed in Europe for the first time in 80 years, currently participating in joint military exercises with the Romanian army at a forward operating site as close as 3 miles from the Ukraine border. And they've been there since June. We just didn't hear about it until the other day. As made clear by nonstop U.S. provocation and consistent refusal to even approach diplomatic peace talks or place pressure on Zelensky to negotiate, instead, Washington has suspended all diplomatic contact with Russia. The neocon warmongers doing the diabolical bidding of Luciferian masters are overtly demanding a nuclear war against Russia and China, with the Eastern Front soon opening up in Taiwan. Not to be outdone, tensions are ramping up in the Pacific Asia when, on Monday, October 24th, North and South Korea exchange warning shots, with North Korea firing missiles at a South Korean naval vessel. As a potential World War III Eastern Front ratchets up in the Pacific Asia region, on Monday, October 24th, a Russian Defense Ministry representative said, quote, "We have information about the contacts of the Office of the President of Ukraine with representatives of Great Britain regarding a possibility to obtain a technology to build nuclear weapons." Provocation is alleged to, quote, "subsequently accuse Russia of using weapons of mass destruction in Ukraine," unquote. Today's nuclear stakes are higher than 60 years ago, during the height of the October missile crisis in 1962. In fact, they're higher now than at any time prior in recorded human history. The criminally exposed planetary overlords are caged beasts with their backs up against the wall, brazenly lashing out to threaten and risk annihilation of all life on planet Earth. This is how insane conditions are atop the parasitic food chain. It's the reason why every American war fought since World War II has been an abysmal loss. It's also why General Austin, Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, and imposter in thief Biden humiliatingly lost the Afghanistan war in such a disgraceful way. After 20 straight years of human resource plunder and opium trade for the black budget during America's longest-running war, adding genocidal vaccine mandates to their resumes, deliberately degrading U.S. fighting force capabilities, treasonously rendering our armed forces unable to defend our nation adequately against foreign and domestic enemies, and all three need to be prosecuted for both treason and war crimes. Under Defense Secretary Austin's leadership, fixated on wokeism of critical race theory, diversity, and inclusion, fully embracing the LGBT movement in the U.S. military to authorize cross-dressing transgender ranks not only severely undermines morale, but dangerously weakens our national defense. Throw in Austin's a corrupt money laundering scheme while in Iraq, and how he falsely, quote, "earned a Silver Star" ribbon on his chest for combat bravery while the general never stepped near a battlefield, all of these failures and unscrupulous judgment fully exposed not only his sheer incompetence, but a character of very questionable integrity. Again, as Austin's one-time squad leader spending 4 years at West Point undergoing the exact same leadership training and education as General Petraeus, these morally reprehensible bureaucrat politician generals are U.S. traitors responsible for losing all of America's wars by Luciferian design. The corrupt, evil system that breeds these monsters thinks nothing of destroying dozens of failed state nations in its wake. Now add Ukraine, or possibly even Germany, and all their citizens treated as mere collateral damage cannon fodder, serving their own diabolical, psychopathic interests. An Intercept expose dated September 8, 2021, entitled, quote, "General Failure, How the U.S. Lied About the 9/11 Wars," is subtitled, "For generals like David Petraeus and Lloyd Austin, there has been no punishment for 20 years of disinformation on Afghanistan and Iraq. Despite consistently losing wars for decades and consistently lying about progress when there was little to none, and displaying gross incompetence time and time again, yet never having to answer for their litany of gross failures, somehow top brass generals responsible for losing all U.S. wars and American lives are never called into question, much less punished for their deceitful, egregious crimes against humanity. And now, our Secretary of Defense is likely to launch a nuclear strike on longtime stalwart Western ally Germany, just to blame Russia. It doesn't get more demonically evil than this." Russia is fully aware that the West is planning a nuclear false flag attack designed to place blame on Putin. This is the official narrative of the Western mainstream media now for more than a month, pushing the notion that Putin has desperately gone mad as a sore loser and will go to any length to use nukes to blame the West. In their despair, per mainstream media, the Russians are willing to resort to such a fatal blunder. But in fact, in actuality, the West knows that Russia is winning the war in Ukraine. The CIA-controlled deceptive propaganda ministry called corporate media will never admit the truth because it doesn't promote the false narrative. Once Putin's military mobilization is complete within this week, all the while bombing and destroying Kiev's entire energy infrastructure, the West is able to do nothing about it. They know they can no longer win this war against Russia, nor can they continue to afford supplying their nearly depleted stockpile of weapons and fiat money to a ruthless, immoral neo-Nazi Kiev regime, having already ruined their economies and impoverishing their hapless, angry citizens, to now turn against their leftist puppets and World Economic Forum puppet masters. Therefore, the West needs a false flag attack in order to preserve what's left of their waning power in NATO, Europe, and in North America, Australia, New Zealand, all with the Marxist totalitarian New World Order. For that reason, these subhumans will sacrifice Ukraine and or Germany as the targeted victims of a false nuclear attack. Russia will not be attacked with nuclear weapons as Moscow retaliation would strike first, annihilating the West. The Western cabal wants to prevent this outcome and has already accepted Russia's victory and Ukraine's defeat as an unavoidable consequence at this point. Thus, the West has informed the Kremlin about this false flag attack plan, and Russia has consented to play along as victory over Ukraine and the West ultimately delivers the advantage of them being a global power status. Right after Lloyd Austin made the final arrangements with Ben Wallace, sending him home last week, on Friday, October 21st, Austin then allegedly called to convince Sergei Shoigu that Russia would agree to go along with the globalist plan. Austin had worked out the plan's details with Wallace, with UK agreeing to carry out the false flag on most likely the Central European powerhouse Germany under the NATO cover of its scheduled two-week live nuclear military exercise running through October 30th. On Sunday, Defense Minister Shoigu, having agreed to go along with the West green light for Wallace to proceed without fear that Russia would not retaliate by hitting the UK with its nuclear torpedo drone capable of wiping out the British Isles with a 1,600-foot radioactive tsunami wave. The Brits are mainly responsible for this false flag nuclear strike, with the U.S. backup through NATO. Liz Truss was quickly removed for her security breach, allegedly blabbing to Macron this maniacal plan, and the brand new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, may or may not even be aware at this point. As soon as Liz Truss was gone last week, the reject, Bojo, expressing interest in coming back, immediately was backed by warmongering Boris Johnson cheerleaders, UK Defense Minister Ben Wallace, and Ukraine puppet Zelensky. Bromance amidst a nuclear war setting, complete with false flag titillation, never fails to draw closer today's woke drama queens pretending to be macho national leaders. No doubt they were sad to learn that on Monday, October 24th, 42-year-old Rishi Sunak, British history's first darker-skinned, non-white prime minister of East Indian family origin, also becomes the youngest PM in 300 years. Selected as the third British Prime Minister since July, this former hedge fund and UK Treasury boss promising to put, quote, integrity, professionalism, and accountability ahead of the British Empire's diabolical great game is perhaps the ideal candidate to soon take the fall for the nuclear false flag coming up. Another Monday, October 24th event reported by RT is that the head of Russia's military general, Valery Gerasimov, made a rare phone call to his counterpart top generals in the U.S., Mark Milley, and U.K. Admiral Sir Tony Radakin. Though RT maintains the purpose of contact was to convey concern over the dirty bomb provocation by Ukraine, it may have been discussing details of an upcoming U.S.-UK false flag over Germany. The Russians foresee the inevitable suicidal collapse of the West since the Soviet Union already survived its turn of total collapse back in 1992, having reconstituted and sustained itself despite the Russian Federation's early years ravaged by the predatory Western and Russian oligarch sharks. The Russians are well aware that the West is now in its death throes. as Putin has little stake in how the collapse of the West is arranged by the criminal ruling cabal, as long as Moscow's interests are preserved and the nation emerges stronger than ever from this prearranged conflict, as controlled opposition, Vladimir Putin will likely allow the globalist cabal to ramble on unimpeded with its nefarious design. This was undoubtedly the discussed agenda covered in the Lloyd Austin Sergei Shoigu phone call on Sunday, October 23rd, the first time they actually talked to each other since May 2022, working out in detail their arranged deal where Russia allegedly agrees to take the public blame but with no real negative consequence, as the West free falls into oblivion and Russia and China are left to divvy up world hegemony with their longtime globalist kingpin partner, the international crime cabal's Khazarian mafia bloodline controllers. As much as many of us may have been wishing, hoping, and praying to be able to elevate Putin for his meritorious anti-globalist, anti-wokeism, anti-pedophilia stand, championing the fight against the New World Order's one world governance agenda, as controlled opposition, he is no hero. Thus, in this immediate timeline scenario, there are no good guys. On the geopolitical chessboard, there are only bad actors and controlled opposition actors appearing to oppose globalist tyranny. All these nefariously powerful players are willing to temporarily make strategic alliances and deals with each other, favoring their mutual exclusive interests. But eventually, power plays for one-upmanship in this cutthroat realm become inevitable, and eventually their treacherous House of Cards prison planet matrix crashes and burns because of the wicked, and the more wicked are driven by unquenchable lust for more power and control that inevitably leads to fighting each other toward ultimate self-destruction. The Western branch of the global cabal knows that the U.S. dollar petrodollar days are over, thus implementation of its cashless World Bank digital currency system is already well underway. But Rothschild Western banking cartel version will be unable to compete against Russia and China with their much stronger gold-backed currencies based on real production and vast reservoir of precious commodities. This is why as soon as a false flag attack takes place, it will be martial law declared throughout Europe and North America.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. Understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson, Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We'll never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right, thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to hour number 2. I'm almost finished with this rather long article I wrote this week, and I'm going to jump right back into it. On Wednesday, October 12th, in an interview with France 2, French President Emmanuel Macron broke with his globalist friends by not committing to using nuclear weapons against Russia should it drop a tactical bomb in Ukraine, angering his Western allies, of course. Having been allegedly informed by Truss on October 6th of an impending globalist plan to attack Germany using a nuclear false flag to blame Russia, Macron appears to be wobbling back and forth amidst this international crisis, distancing himself from one moment with the wrath of Putin on October 12th, while walking back an earlier allegation that Putin actually instigated the recent Azeri attack against Armenia, which is preposterous, because that's the last thing Putin would want, is another potential World War III ignited on his doorstep. He's already got his hands full with Ukraine, obviously. In response to the ominous nuclear threat last Wednesday, October 19th, Putin placed the 4 recently annexed regions under martial law, concerned that a tactical nuclear weapon might be detonated over the Black Sea. He is heightening a security alert throughout the European regions of Russia, which in a flash could decree and implement martial law. The Russians have already prepared for what is happening in the West. It will simply be a modified version of Cold War 2.0, with a new virtual Iron Curtain between the East and West. So what else is new? With Chinese Congress days ago re-electing Xi Jinping for his unprecedented third term, the stage is set for China to take Taiwan. We are on the cusp of dividing the world into two or maybe three geopolitical military spheres of influence. This is at least the plan of the Western cabal attempting to stay afloat amidst its current predicament, where it has already lost its war against Russia, the support and confidence of its people plunging into the greatest economic and energy crisis of all time. The elites are desperate to avoid hanging from the nearest lamppost or under a guillotine, as George H.W. Bush once time said, "I don't want to be chased down the street and lynched," which he was certain that if the people found out all the crimes that he'd been up to, that's what would have been his fate. And as it was, he actually was allegedly convicted in a military tribunal and executed. Of course, we won't hear much about that in the mainstream media. Now that the West has finally been forced to relinquish its supremacy over the entire world, its weakened power brokers will be pacified in keeping what little it still has amidst the ruins, installing its digital currency and social credit score system. Of course, China has long been living under the totalitarian control with its zero COVID policy and its already existing social credit score system used as the globalist New World Order model, and will continue global expansion of its Belt and Road Initiative and Smart Cities agenda, as it means to spread its lockdown prison planet tyranny worldwide. Under martial law, Russia is reviving its old autocratic control system, limiting mobility and travel of its citizenry as the New World Order descends upon our planet, following suit with the globalist agenda to limit and control travel worldwide. After the nuclear false flag attack, most likely in Central Europe, immediately international martial law will be declared, establishing the New World Order's long-cherished financial reset promoted by the World Economic Forum as bloodline control agents. Although corporate media will attempt to falsely blame Russia for the nuclear attack, soon enough, it should be readily exposed. Russia, in fact, is counting on the West as the empire of lies and deep state criminal cabal to be fully outed for its chronic track record of total deception and ongoing malfeasance. In the same way that few people still believe that vaccines are, quote, safe and effective, or that the U.S. didn't sabotage the Nord Stream pipelines as an act of declared war against Germany, its most faithful subservient vassal, the ever-so-thinly-veiled false Western narrative will never hold up, as the proven criminal evidence of past similar guilt is far too overwhelming, especially as failing Western governments are fast crumbling, besieged by growing political, economic, and social upheaval and violent unrest amidst the biggest depression of all time. Driven by massive inflation and unprecedented energy and food crises, the Great Reset is doomed to fail as worldwide revolt against failed centralized control spreads. From the ashes come opportunity for rebirth. Again, it will come down to the good citizens of this earth rising up in truth and unity to defeat Luciferian elites' nightmarish dystopian enslavement. Progress in human evolution will vastly improve the human condition to heal itself from the inevitably destructive stress and strain of a Lucifer-controlled world completely out of balance, gone mad. Ascension to a higher plane of existence is presently in process, and amidst the darkest days ahead will take full bloom. Our divine creator would not have it any other way. Okay, that's the end of my long article this week. You can find it at jameshfetzer.org and thegovernmentrag.com. Those are the two sites. It was also picked up by State of the Nation website, a good website. So that's where you can find this latest article that I just read. I'll turn to a few pieces of news that's worth some commentary. A follow-up to the reason UK Defense Minister Wallace jumped on a plane to DC over an insecure communication issue, allegedly, is total bullshit, as there are a number of private security options that the two heads of national security possess without having to fly across the Atlantic Ocean. The possibility that a mole exists within the United Kingdom defense apparatus could potentially cause Wallace to resort to the extreme of jumping on an airplane, though it's very doubtful. But all the phone calls Russian Defense Minister Shoigu makes as soon as Wallace returns to United Kingdom with four defense ministers, including both Austin and Wallace, UK Armed Forces Minister James Heapy described the conversations Wallace was having with Austin and General Milley in D.C. were, quote, beyond belief. That obviously can be interpreted in any number of ways. But certainly, discussing how to commit a false flag to blame the demonized enemy Putin To many of people, that would be beyond belief. Although to me, it's not at all beyond belief, but actually rather probable. These guys are desperate because they know that Ukraine's a hopeless cause, and therefore their desperation would call for desperate measures. Then Austin's call to Shoigu on Monday, ostensibly to get his, or actually it was Friday, excuse me, to get his acquiescence to take the heat for the greater good of the crime cabal, all of this frenzied beyond belief activity made explicitly public through wide press coverage makes little sense if concern of a mole in the UK is the cause. All of this seemingly frenzied and frantic activity is far more feasibly explained that Wallace and Austin meet in person, specifically only if they are about to intricately map out secret details of a highly explosive, most wicked enterprise that will change the course of the history of humans, stabbing their fellow friendly fellow Western ally in the back with a tactical nuke, killing a bunch of Germans just to blame their enemy, Russia. They would have to be totally desperate in a do-or-die, high-stakes situation. That's how frantic the elite is right now, because a Putin victory in Ukraine spells doom and gloom for the West, risking full exposure of the planetary controllers' egregious criminality, not a matter of if, but when Ukraine loses. The elites losing their main source of income into the trillions, as well as their immense power if Ukraine as the devil's playground gets thoroughly uncovered, which it will. Once the global masses learn the extent of the elite's unthinkable evil crimes against children and humanity, the elites know that all their wealth, power, control, to include their Great Reset, and even their very lives will all be permanently lost when military tribunals convict and publicly execute them. So, with this much at stake as a consequence of losing the war in Ukraine and all their appalling secrets exposed, the devil in the details frantically working out a nuclear deal to detonate over Germany or Ukraine has to be most delicately handled in person with the utmost caution. That's why Wallace and Austin felt compelled to meet face to face. Too much is riding on their mission accomplished if they don't accomplish it. Okay, moving on to related news stories. Knowing that the U.S., NATO, West can't possibly win in Ukraine, U.S. Defense Secretary Austin's latest Pentagon assessment states, quote, "The most comprehensive and serious challenge to U.S. national security is the PRC's, that's People's Republic of China, coercive and increasingly aggressive endeavor to refashion the Indo-Pacific region and the international system to suit its interests and authoritarian preferences." Unquote. The 2022 Nation Defense Strategy, NDS, cites China's rising Asian-Pacific power being used to, quote, "coerce its neighbors and threaten their interests," i.e., bully smaller nations in the region where, back in the good old unipolar days, only the U.S. could coerce and bully and threaten other nations. Again, the world bully can't adjust to being dethroned from its sole world superpower super status. It's still living in its glory days, like an over-the-hill athlete unable to face reality, that it's finally time to hang up the jockstrap as the only big wheel in town. It's pathetic to watch, actually. But again, the incompetent, ass-kissing puppet Austin must obey his orders and pretend to still be the top dog. This is the saber-rattling rhetoric he must confront China with as it gets ready to take Taiwan. Recall, Biden has said he will commit U.S. troops to fighting on the ground in Taiwan, something he is unwilling to do in Ukraine, where the 101st Airborne soldiers are training within 3 miles of the border. All this is a setup for disaster, as warring against both Russia and China again is suicide. But then, that's exactly what the puppet masters have ordered. The North American and European puppets are doing everything in their power to destroy the Western civilization and the Western population. It's called depopulation and Great Reset, and the worst economic depression in Earth's history. In a note accompanying the NDS report that classifies Russia a step lower than China as, quote, "an acute threat," Austin writes, "Russia's unprovoked, unjust, and reckless invasion of Ukraine underscores its irresponsible behavior. Efforts to respond to Russia's assault on Ukraine also dramatically highlight the importance of a strategy that leverages the power of our values and our military might with that of our allies and partners." Such bullshit from Austin the bullshitter. Such fake blusterers headed for doom. But the servile puppet slave is just following his master's orders, though they won't help him at the Nuremberg 2.0 trials. Of course, joining U.S. threat enemies list, besides Russia and China, are Iran and North Korea, i.e., the four nations in this world that most refuse to bow down to the bullying dictates of Washington, D.C., the puppet master battering ram used for overt world control. Or are they simply the master's designated controlled opposition? Probably. Meanwhile, earlier this month, China's foreign ministry spokeswoman, Mao Ning, stated, quote, "We oppose the outdated U.S. Cold War mentality and zero-sum mindset." In other very much related news, on Wednesday, October 26, 2022, Politico states that U.S. officials told NATO allies in Brussels that they can expect delivery of an upgraded version of the U.S.-made D-61-12 airdrop gravity nuclear bomb to Europe by December, sped up from the earlier delivery date by spring 2023. Obviously, the bloodline rule cabal is racing straight towards nuclear Armageddon with a false flag in the next few days, very likely to take place. So, they're quickening the pace to the more modern version of their latest nuclear bomb, gravity bomb, straight to Europe, the B-61-12 airdrop, gravity nuclear bomb, to Europe. Isn't that sweet? Okay, moving on to other news items. PayPal decided to reinstate its anti-First Amendment policy of fining all accounts $2,500 that are deemed, quote, misinformation, which means, in most cases, accounts that are conveying truthful information will be canceled. In this Luciferian world where everything is inverse, good is bad, up is down, and truth is lies or misinformation. I should know, because last year, my account was suddenly canceled with PayPal, without notice or explanation, followed last December by Google canceling my blog site, empireexposed.blogspot.com, because apparently it posed too much of a threat to an evil system that can only optimally control people with lies, disinformation, and misinformation. So, we the people must fight back by no longer using such companies like PayPal and Google that are extensions of the Big Brother totalitarian system that cannot tolerate informed, empowered masses that reject unconstitutional censorship of freedom of the press and free expression. First Amendment rights. The cancel culture epitomized by the Marxist left is all about suppression of the truth, as every totalitarian regime in history does. It's a sad day when the United States of America, founded as a constitutional republic based on a brilliantly written checks and balances system built into our political form of government that guarantees our sovereign human rights of liberty and freedom, in practice today, is no longer a constitutional republic at all. When citizens are locked up in prison as political prisoners for exercising their now apparent stolen legal rights, are deemed enemies of the state for merely dissenting from overreaching government oppression, It's time for a second revolution. Our nation is now a disgrace to anyone who values freedom. A little bit of good news here, for what it's worth. A major step toward adhering to our original Constitution is H.R. 9157, a bill just recently introduced by West Virginia Republican Congressman Alex Mooney that will restore the gold standard for the U.S. dollar as a sound money policy. Maybe a little bit too late, since the U.S. dollar is not going to be worth anything, but anyway, it's the thought that counts, as they say. The bill notes, quote, "The Federal Reserve note has lost more than 30% of its purchasing power since 2000, and 97% of its purchasing power since the passage of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. And it notes that under official Fed policy, the dollar loses half of its purchasing power every 35 years. It calls for a stable dollar, fixed exchange rates, and money supply controlled by the market, not the government. The gold standard puts control of the money supply with the market instead of the Federal Reserve, discourages excessive deficit spending, and encourages the balancing of federal budgets. H.R. 9157 requires the Secretary of the Treasury to, quote, define the Federal Reserve note dollar in terms of a fixed weight of gold based on that day's closing market price of gold, unquote, and to make them, quote, redeemable for and exchangeable with gold. The next step to restore sound fiscal policy would be to abolish the Federal Reserve. That would remove the Rothschild private central banking cartel from having total control over our country. But unless we revolt in revolution, that ain't gonna happen. The Federal Reserve secrecy that won't even allow audits by our own government is unconstitutional, and again, if we are to free ourselves from eternal bondage, it needs to be abolished. Since 1913, having a central bank controlling our entire financial system is not only blatantly unconstitutional, but it's played a key role moving the entire world towards one world socialist government tyranny. And that is the truth. Okay, with the remainder of our time, I have come across an article that is pretty informative and worth reading. It is not written by me. It is written by Professor Richard Falk, who's fairly well known. You might have heard of him. He's a Princeton emeritus professor, and he is written about many books as an expert on international relations, and he's an attorney and constitutional law, and international law is his forte, and he's written an article, it's on global research, but originally on Transcend Media Services, and it's called Climbing the Escalation Ladder to Oblivion. And this is regarding Ukraine. Disdaining diplomacy, seeking victory. Ever since the Ukraine war started on February 24, 2022, the NATO response, mainly articulated and materially implemented by the U.S., has been to pour vast quantities of oil on the flames of conflict, increasing the scale of violence, the magnitude of human suffering, and dangerously increasing the risk of a disastrous outcome, which I've been telling you all about. Not only did Washington mobilize the world to denounce Russia's, quote, aggression, but supplied advanced weaponry in great quantities to the Ukrainians to resist the Russian attack and did all it could at the UN and elsewhere to build a punitive coalition hostile to Russia, but coupled this with a variety of sanctions and the demonization of Putin as a notorious war criminal unfit to govern. This perspective of state propaganda was faithfully conveyed by a self-censoring Western media filter that graphically portrayed on a daily basis the horrors of the war experienced by the Ukrainian civilian population and a newly West-oriented enthusiasm for the International Criminal Court gathering as much evidence as possible of Russian war crimes. Such a posture contradicted its intense past opposition to the ICC's, International Criminal Court's, efforts to gather evidence for an investigation of war crimes by non-signatories in relation to the U.S. role in Afghanistan or Israel's role in occupied Palestine. To some degree, such one-sidedness of presentation was to be expected, but its intensity in relation to Ukraine has been dangerously irresponsible and amateurish with respect to the wider human interests at stake, and in a profound sense, the well-being of Ukraine and its people. Even Stephen Walt, W-A-L-T, an influential commentator on U.S. foreign policy, who is a prudent critic of the Biden failure to do his best to shift the bloody encounter in Ukraine from the battlefield to diplomatic domains, nevertheless joins the warmongering chorus by misleadingly asserting without qualification that, quote, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is illegal, immoral, and unjustifiable, unquote. Walt, why Washington should take Russian nuclear threats seriously. Foreign Policy, May 5, 2022. It is not that such a characterization is incorrect, but unless softened by explanations of context, it lends credibility to the war-oriented, self-righteous mentality displayed by the Biden presidency. Perhaps Walt and others of similar persuasion were striking this posture of going along with this public portrayal of the Ukraine crisis as part of striking a Faustian bargain to gain a seat at the table so that their message of caution could be effectively delivered. To be clear, even if it can be argued that Russia, Putin, have launched a war that is unlawful, immoral, and unjustified, context is important if peace is to be restored and catastrophe avoided. For one thing, the Russian attack may be all of those things alleged and yet form part of a geopolitical pattern of established behavior that the U.S. has itself established in a series of wars, starting with the Vietnam War, and notably more recently with the Kosovo War, Afghanistan War, and the Iraq War. None of these wars were legal, moral, and justifiable, although each enjoyed a geopolitical rationale that made them persuasive with U.S. foreign policy elites and its closest alliance partners. Of course, two wrongs do not make a right, but in a world where geopolitical actors enjoy a license to pursue their strategic interests, it is not objectively defensible to so self-righteously condemn Russia without taking account of what the U.S. has been doing around the world for several decades. In a somewhat insightful fit of frustration, George W. Bush, after a failure to gain U.N. Security Council authorization in 2003 for the use of regime-changing force against Iraq, declared that the U.N. would lose its, quote, relevance if it failed to go along with the American imperial plan of action, and so it did. The ambiguity as to international law arises from the UN Charter's own equivocation, asserting that all non-defensive uses of force are prohibited, a position reinforced by the amended Rome Statute governing the International Criminal Court by declaring aggression as a crime against the peace while conferring a right of veto. How can this right of veto be conferred on the five permanent members of the Security Council, which has the effect of precluding any decision that clashes with their strategic interests, be reconciled with the prohibition on aggression? Such a right of exception is complemented by the experience of international criminal law, which from Nuremberg to the present has exempted from accountability dominant geopolitical actors, even for such incredible acts as dropping atomic bombs on overwhelmingly civilian targets at the end of World War II. This gray zone separating law from power is further reinforced by the existence of spheres of influence claimed and dominated by geopolitical actors, which, if territorially proximate and identified as such, tend to be respected by adversaries. Such compromised sovereignty of these borderland countries is descriptive of the mutual tolerance exhibited during the Cold War, the division of Europe, showing forbearance even in the face of unlawful violent interventions. In this sense, Ukraine finds itself in the unenviable position of Mexico. Long ago, the great Mexican cultural figure Octavio Paz proclaimed the tragedy of his country, quote, to be far from God and so close to the United States. These considerations are mentioned here not to defend, much less exonerate, Russia, but to show that the world order context of the Ukraine war is deeply problematic in relation to normative authority, especially when invoked in such a partisan manner. In contemporary geopolitical relations, as distinct from normal state-to-state or international relations, precedent takes the place of norms and rule-governed behavior. Antony Blinken has muddled the waters of international discourse by falsely claiming that the U.S., unlike adversaries China and Russia, is as observant of rule-governed behavior as are, quote, normal states in relation to peace and security. In this sense, it is appropriate to look back at NATO's clearly unlawful war of 1999 that fragmented Serbia by granting Kosovo political independence and territorial sovereignty before uncritically condemning the Russian annexation of four parts of eastern Ukraine after admittedly dubious referenda. Again, it is important to recognize that there may be cases where the fragmentation of existing states is justifiable on humanitarian grounds and others where it is not. But to claim that Russia overstepped the limits of law in a context where power has shaped behavior and political outcomes in similar cases is to prepare the public for a wider war rather than leading it to seek and be pragmatically receptive to a diplomatic compromise. The contextual understanding of the Ukraine war is, in my judgment, highly relevant as it makes the current fashion of mounting legal, moral, and political arguments of condemnation distract from following an otherwise rational, prudent, and pragmatic courses of action, which from the beginning strongly supported an all-out effort to encourage an immediate ceasefire followed by negotiations aiming at a durable political arrangement not only between Russia and Ukraine, but also NATO, U.S., and Russia. That the U.S. government never to this day has indicated any interest, much less a commitment to stopping the killing and encouraging diplomacy, despite the mounting costs and risks of prolonged warfare in Ukraine, should be shocking to the conscience of peace-minded persons and patriots of humanity everywhere. Beyond this, catastrophic costs are presently being borne by many vulnerable societies throughout the world from the spillover effects of anti-Russian sanctions and their impact on food and energy supplies and pricing. Such a deplorable situation, likely to get worse as the war is prolonged and intensified, is now also bringing closer to reality growing risks of the use of nuclear weapons, as Putin's alternatives may be narrowing to acknowledging defeat or personally falling from power. He will not be defeated, and he will more than likely not fall from power. While not relenting a bit on implementing an aggressive approach to gaining Ukraine's ambition of victory, Biden himself acknowledges that any use of even a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine would, with near certitude, lead to Armageddon. This duality of assessment, combining escalating the war and anxiety as to where it might lead, seems like an embrace of geopolitical insanity rather than a recognition of the somber realities at stake. As always, actions speak louder than words. Blinken, facing a rising public clamor for negotiations, responds with his usual feckless evasions. In this instance, contending that since Ukraine is the victim of Russian aggression, it alone has the authority to seek a diplomatic resolution, and the U.S. will continue to support Ukraine's maximal war aims, including even their extension to Crimea, which has been part of Russia since 2014. Context also matters in relation to the conduct of the war. Its major escalation within the month of the sabotage of Nord Stream gas pipeline to Europe, which Blinken again confounded by calling it a tremendous opportunity to make weaken Russia and lead to greater European energy independence. Such an operation, initially and plausibly attributed to Russia, yet later more or less acknowledges as part of the expansion of the war by reliance on, quote, terrorist tactics of combat. Its latest expression is the suicide bombing of the strategic Kerch Bridge on October 7th, connecting Crimea and Russia, a major infrastructure achievement of the Putin period of Russian leadership and supply line for Russian troops in southern parts of Ukraine. These operations contain the fingerprints of the CIA and seem designed as encouragement to the Ukrainian resolve to go all out for a decisive victory, sending Putin unmistakable signals that the U.S. remains unreceptive to a responsible geopolitics of compromise. The U.S. anger directed at Saudi Arabia for cutting its oil production is one more sign of a commitment to a victory scenario in Ukraine, as well as a reaction against the Saudi resistance to U.S. hegemonic geopolitics. With such provocations, it is hardly surprising, although highly unlawful and immoral, for Russia to retaliate by unleashing its version of shock and awe against the civilian centers of 10 Ukrainian cities, such as the vicious escalation. Always lurking in the background and at Ukraine's and the world's expense is Washington's geopolitical opportunism. That is, seeking to defeat Russia and deter China from daring to challenge the hegemonic unipolarity achieved after the Soviet disintegration in 1992. It's this huge investment in its militarist identity as the sole global state that alone explains this cowboy approach to nuclear risk-taking and the tens of billions expended to empower Ukraine. Such a tragic political drama unfolds as the peoples of the world and their governments, along with the United Nations, watch this horrendous spectacle unfold, seemingly helpless, witnesses not only to the carnage, but to their own national destinies. I think that's a pretty truthful article that points out very important reality. Okay, I will read, with our time left, one final article, and this is a Zero Hedge article. It's entitled, "In Stunning Strategy Reversal, Pentagon will no longer rule out use of nuclear weapons against non-nuclear threat. Came out today, October 28th. Moments ago, as part of his closely watched speech, Vladimir Putin appeared to talk down the likelihood of a nuclear attack in Ukraine. Putin said, "No political, military reason in nuke strike in Ukraine," which, however, is more than can be said about the U.S. As Bloomberg just reported, the Pentagon's new national defense strategy rejects limits on using nuclear weapons, long championed by arms control advocates, and in the not-too-distant past by Joe Biden himself, citing burgeoning threats from Russia and China. By the 2030s, the United States will, for the first time in its history, face two major nuclear powers as strategic competitors and political adversaries. Well, it's not 2030s, it's right now. The Defense Department said in the long-awaited document issued Thursday, in response, the U.S. will, quote, "maintain a very high bar for nuclear employment," unquote, without ruling out using the weapons in retaliation to a non-nuclear strategic threat to the homeland, U.S. forces abroad, or allies. In other words, any provocation they deem fit, whether it's a threat or not, they can use nuclear weapons. That's what they're saying. And yet another stark reversal for the senile occupant of the White House basement. In his 2020 presidential campaign, Biden had pledged to declare that the U.S. nuclear arsenal should be used only to deter or retaliate against a nuclear attack, a position blessed by progressive Democrats and reviled by defense hawks. But that was then, and this is now. Roles have reversed. But, like with every other position held by the pathological liar who even trumps Trump in the untruth department, this one has just been reversed, as well as the, quote, "the threat environment has changed dramatically since then." And the Pentagon strategy was forged in cooperation with the flip-flopping White House. In a stunning move that should, or rather should, spark outrage among the so-called progressives, but will at best prompt some very sternly retracted letters, the nuclear report that's part of the broader strategy said the Biden administration reviewed its nuclear policy and concluded that, quote, "no first use and sole purpose policies," quote, "would result in an unacceptable level of risk in light of the range of non-nuclear capabilities being developed and fielded by competitors that could inflict strategic level damage to the U.S. and allies. Meanwhile, Putin," this is Putin talking, "the only country in the world that has used nuclear weapons against a non-nuclear state is the United States of America." Paul Sonne, S-O-N-N-E, on October 27th. "The nuclear strategy document doesn't spell out what non-nuclear threats could produce a U.S. nuclear response. But current threats include hypersonic weapons possessed by Russia and China, for which the U.S. doesn't yet have a proven defense." Which basically neutralizes our U.S. Navy. We think we got the big Pacific Fleet covered and all that. Well, a hypersonic weapon is not going to be destroyed before it destroys every aircraft carrier the U.S. owns in the world. So we're a little bit behind in military advancement without hypersonic weapons, while our two biggest threats, Russia and China, got them both. And yet, we want to go to nuclear war against them. Makes a lot of sense if you want 90% of the people dead. That's the only sense it can make. It does spell out, however, in the strongest terms, what would happen to another nuclear power, North Korea, if it launched a nuclear attack on the U.S., South Korea, or Japan. That action will result in the end of that regime, it says. U.S. nuclear weapons continue to play a role in deterring North Korean attacks. Is that why he's blasting one test missile after the next? Unprecedented frequency? So, the brilliant neocon minds behind the report concluded it is better to instill the fear of a disproportionate nuclear retaliation, thus making an outright nuclear attack far more likely. If the U.S. will nuke you anyway, may as well go all out. In the document, which was framed well before the invasion, the Pentagon says Russia continues to, quote, brandish its nuclear weapons in support of its revisionist security policy, while, unquote, while its modern arsenal is expected to grow further. In other words, the Pentagon knew what Putin would do even before he did it, and that defined the dramatic revision in U.S. nuclear posture. Almost as if the Pentagon directed the entire sequence of events, which it did, including Putin's incursion. They made sure that it happened. When Donetsk and Lugansk asked Putin to help protect them against an invasion by neo-Nazi-trained U.S. NATO forces, Putin intervened. That's controlled opposition, I believe. Meanwhile, China remains the U.S.'s most consequential strategic competitor for coming decades, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said in a letter presenting the new defense strategy. He cited China's increasingly coercive actions to reshape the Indo-Pacific region and the international system to fit its authoritarian preferences. Isn't that what the United States has been doing for the last century? Such hypocrisy. Even as it rapidly modernizes and expands its military, China wants to have at least 1,000 deliverable nuclear warheads by the end of the decade, the nuclear strategy document says, saying it could use them for, quote, coercive purposes, including military provocations against U.S. allies and partners in the region. Unquote. The nuclear strategy affirmed modernization programs, including the ongoing replacement of the aging U.S. air, sea, land nuclear triad. Among them are the Navy's Columbia-class nuclear ICBM submarine, the ground-based Minuteman III ICBM replacement, the new air-launched long-range standoff weapon, and F-35 fighter jets for Europe carrying nuclear weapons. The review confirmed previous reports that the Pentagon will retire the B-83-1 gravity bomb and cancel the sea-launched cruise missile program. But the review endorses a controversial Trump-era naval weapon, the low-yield W-76-2 submarine-launched nuclear warhead, which is described as an important means to deter limited nuclear use, unquote. The broader strategy report also offered gently worded criticism of major U.S. weapons programs, which often runs years behind plans and billions of dollars over initial budgets. Quote, "Our current system is too slow and too focused on acquiring systems not designed to address the most critical challenges we now face," the Pentagon said. Well, whose fault is that, Pentagon? It called for more, quote, "open systems that can rapidly incorporate cutting-edge technology while reducing problems of obsolescence and high costs." The Pentagon strategy documents were sent to Congress in classified form in March so that they were considered during congressional approval of the fiscal 2023 defense budget. Okay, that ends that dreary article. That basically is saying, hey, if we, the U.S., want to nuke somebody, even though you're not a nuclear threat, we will do it. Revolution. Time for revolution. Now we need to cue that old Beatles song from the White Album. Back in my college days at West Point. Okay, so we got like maybe a minute or so left. So I will say that you can find all my latest articles, and boy, I've been writing a whole bunch lately. Every week I come up with at least one or two. You can find them all at jameshfetzer.org. Or you can find them on the governmentrag.com. Thegovernmentrag.com. And then you can find all of my older articles, which I have to say, some of them are very relevant still, on Global Research, Lou Rockwell, and SOT.net has a lot of my old material. I have about 2 years' worth on Veterans Today as well. And I noticed that in recent weeks, a lot of my articles are going from James Fetzer directly to the State of the Nation website, which is a good website. You can find all my Pedophilia and Empires series, every single chapter free, on pedoempire.org. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Hey, This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
In the morning
at Revolution Radio freedomslips.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare. And the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel, Mitchell.
Yeehaw! It's time for Crazy Ass Fridays, coming at you live from Franklin County, Virginia.
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
First of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down.
People do not get sick.
I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Night comes zooming, level play, missing curves, space is gay, Boston bombing falls, flat Joe Biden torpedo.
Dr. Fauci always lies, Stevie Wonder is a blind victory.
time with Preston Blair.
Come on down and join us. Freedomslips.com. Revolution.radio. Join us here. Come on, catch us, ladies and gentlemen. Get the straight truth, not the mainstream media mind control. They have you on their script. They have you brainwashed using mass psychology, using information saturation. You don't even have your own thoughts. You don't even know it. It truly is mind-boggling, the world that we live in, where people have become sheeple, and the elite have mastered human farming on a scale never imagined before. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Catch us on iTunes, talkstreamlive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, Assessify, Radiomni, Open Radio app, and dozens more. Live stream us. Well, here it is. You're listening to it, evidently, if you hear this. But post the Vocast stream or copy and paste some what's on my Twitter feed or my Facebook feed, you know, at my Facebook page. Go on with that bullshit. Yeah, that's a hell of a Facebook name page, ain't it? Anyway, I wish they would just carry on and leave us to our free thinking and not telling us we have to use special pronouns like furry is the newest one. Oh, God. Furry freakdom. Yeah, well, you know, liberal insanity, it never ends. Oh, my God. Let's see. Let's get back. Call in and listen. 518-906-1839. And tell your friends. You can post that on the internet. You can post it on a sign. Get the straight truth, not the mainstream scripted bullshit. 518-906-1839. Get the facts. Not get your mind hijacked by a liberal media with an agenda to, well, let's just see. You know, I'm trying to think of something other than your mind getting humped, you know, by a dog, you know. Oh, God, that was sad. That was funny, but it was sad. Oh, God, yeah, somebody I knew, they're passed away now. And they had MS. And, you know, as they lost control of their bodily their functions, you know, ability to walk and talk and, you know, be on a scooter even, you know. You know, and dogs like to hump. Dogs will get in a mode where, you know, I guess if they're horny or they smell whatever, but they want to hump something. And you can imagine somebody with MS that's falling on the floor that can't stop the dog from humping on their leg. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. It's funny, okay? You know, and her brother, who's handicapped because he was a quadriplegic, you know, his hands didn't work, but he had like fists of crumpled fists. And he was trying to help her. Next thing you know, he's on the ground. And, you know, they're outside the mall. They're laying there on the damn asphalt laughing like hell about it. Oh, my God. As the, you know, the... What do they call those not emotional support animal, but, you know, a support animal. The lab was just going out of control. Oh, God. You got to remember some of the good, funny times in life because, you know, if you're handicapped, you're broken down, you know, everybody does. And so, you know, try to enjoy your life. Oh, gosh. You know, this post-traumatic COVID disorder that we have now, because that's one of the things we're seeing. Let me see. What else? Wait a minute. Before I get on into the show stuff, right? What else did I miss? Let's see. The archives. Don't forget the Revolution Radio archives. Just go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com. They go to the same place. It's all one website. It's just when we had a chance to secure the high-level domain of revolution.radio as an extension, like .com, you know, Mike Ringley, the founder, God bless him, you know, he took that, he got it. So, we are listener supported and commercial free. We run some bumpers at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour at some shows. I have on both of them on mine, the top and bottom. You know, and remember, if you want to try to do this, you know, if you want to have a show about doing and making, or, you know, you might want to try it out here on Revolution Radio. That's up to you. So, you know, contact the management team. And, you know, it's not very expensive, in all honesty. It's probably, you know, probably the cheapest way you can stream around the world, literally, if you chose to start a radio show or you had a voice that you wanted to raise in one way or another. Okay, let's get into the show. Let's get news and information that you can really use, you need, not this mainstream media. Yeah, we live in a world of just effing stupid government. Stupid government. Okay, let's see. Nukes and more nukes. The United States government, in its infinite ignorance, has taken the hold off of the restraint of nuclear weapons. That's right, the United States of America and its political leaders have decided that they can and could and would use nuclear weapons as a response to even a non-nuclear attack. For example, here's the clearest example that I can say, and it's not Ukraine, it's China. That should China invade Taiwan with a massive army and massive number of armada of ships, that the ports that those places would be trying to depart from, or those ships, that armada of fishing vessels, more than likely, those areas, the only way to really target those troop areas would be nuclear weapons, if they're tactical nuclear weapons, more than likely, but still nuclear weapons. Okay? That's the same way. In fact, there are already scenarios that have been posted online that talk of a war that starts. And the U.S. is the first to use nuclear weapons on advancing Russian troops. Okay. And then, of course, it goes from retaliation to full-scale nuclear war. Unfortunately, but, you know, that's what happens. There is no such thing as limited nuclear war. It once you use and normalize a weapon of war, there is no putting that, you know, genie back in the bottle. The United States and NATO says Finland says they're willing to host nuclear weapons on their border with Russia. Not right now, but just in the future. Yeah, the president, Sauli Niinistö, said earlier this month that Finland had no preconditions for joining NATO. No preconditions, which means that they can, you know, do any damn thing they want. Okay, Finland is surrendering to NATO and the EU. You know, this is really what all this is about, right? The European Union is actually run by NATO under an emergency decree. It happened years ago, and I don't believe it has ever been resolved. We also know that there's going to be mass genocide in Europe. Mass genocide. How do we know that? We know that the European Union has signed a contract with effing death shot Pfizer, okay? They've signed a contract to buy to buy doses of vaccines, of the booster shots, for all European or all the people in the EU, which amounts to about 415 million people, I think, somewhere in there. And what has really happened? They bought 10 times the number of doses than the number of people that are in the European Union. Why would you sign a contract to buy that many doses? Really? And, you know, in all fairness, I guess I should say it says up to that number. I mean, it's idiocracy. It truly is idiocracy, okay? You know, you have to wonder what is going through the minds of the medical system and the governments today. In all honesty. The big, big, big news that everybody's, I'm sure, wanting, why doesn't he talk about this, is because, well, everybody is. And here is, of course, some major news that you may have already heard, or hopefully you already heard. Hopefully this has already hit your ear. Elon Musk, remember the other day I reported Elon Musk had walked in with the sink, and he wanted to let Twitter Corporation and those in the headquarters and then let it to sink in that he was buying Twitter. He closed the deal. He began with firing the CEO, the CFO, and the top censor. We're all escorted out of the building. The only problem is he didn't have the power to put them in handcuffs and give them a true perp walk. Paga Aguilera, chief executive officer, toast. Ned Segal, CFO, Chief Financial Officer. See you later with the dead fishes. Sean Edgett, the General Counsel. Yes, and Vijay Gowdy, the top legal and policy executive, a.k.a. the censorship czar. Yes, gone. See ya. You know, and all the Twitter, all, you know, all these Twitter employees. I mean, this is how, this is number one, how professional they are. This is number two, how butthurt they are that they have put out a list of commands. They're not even demands. They're commands. Like, we're Twitter employees, and we put out these commandments that Elon Musk must abide by if he is going to be our boss. Hey, how's that working out for you? Not too good. I mean, really? Hey. Oh, shit. It's sheer crazy of that, right? It's sheer crazy. And when employees command and demand that the boss act a certain way, it's not your company. You just work there, dude. I hate to tell you. And, you know, many are leaving. They're going to Facebook. They're going to Google. You know, they're going to other big media tech companies. Because that's where censorship, they believe that their little wokester text messaging and all of this other shit is going to be the prime supporter of that platform wherever they go, I guess. I don't know. All I know is people are effing retards. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it like that because, you know, I always have these aspirations to run for office in 2024, and I keep thinking about that, and, I got to fix myself up a little bit, and I got to do some things, and I will still want to try to make that happen, you know, at least just to rattle their cages, you know, because Senator Mark Warner, who's up for re-election next in 2024, Senator Mark Warner has come out and said Donald Trump was right. Hold on. Yeah, I know. I know. What the F did I say? A big ass, kiss ass, loony liberal says Donald Trump was right. The one of the co-conspirators with Hillary Clinton and the Trump-Russia collusion lies. Mark Warner sat by quietly. You know, the real question that someone must ask Mark Warner, and you should ask this under oath, because I don't think the effing son of a bitch a day of the trade. When did you know that Hillary Clinton had hired Christopher Steele to produce the Steele dossier through Fusion GPS as a, you know, campaign counterintelligence operation? When did Mark Warner, when did you know that that was a lie? And when you knew, why didn't you tell the American people? Look, our politicians have turned in just a bunch of lying mother sons of bitches. I'm going to say that F word sometime. I'm going to try not to let it slip out, okay? Yeah. But I'm telling you, what in the hell is the matter with people? Mark Warner says TikTok, 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 TikTok. TikTok is a Chinese platform that is messing with the minds and the brains of our young people. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Mark Warner said Donald Trump was right. The psychological weapons and tools posed by social media are devastating, and the Chinese are using it with brilliant effectiveness for propaganda and disruption in social life and social circles in the United States. Well, Mr. Warner, I'm glad you recognize that effing fact, that bullshit, okay? Because the United States government is just as evil. They're just as bad when it comes to lying to people. They're just as bad when it comes to censorship. They're just as bad when it comes to pissing down people's back and telling them it's raining. Yeah. Today our politicians baffle us with bullshit and don't tell the truth. They haven't told the truth about the origin of the Wuhan virus because it would damage science. It would damage biomedical science beyond belief. When people do finally admit to themselves and accept that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the source of the COVID-19 SARS virus, the original. Now, we already know if we have an outbreak of the Omicron SV2 or SAR2 or whatever the hell they call it. We know where it came from. We know it came from Boston University, which did gain of function research. By combining Omicron and the old SARS-CoV virulent strain. All weaponized. These scientists already knew beforehand the types of genetic information that was inside the ball of the virus. And they know already understood what was in the alveoli or what was in the spikes of the coronavirus. They already knew. They knew what would happen when they glued those damn things together. We'll be right back. Boston University, you're full of shit.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeehaw!
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. Won't be turned.
Stand your ground, ladies and gentlemen. You got to stand your ground today, because if you don't, they'll just run right over you. And I certainly don't want to see that happen to you folks out here. We have enough problems with people in our lives pretending they're the masters of our universe when they are just public servants. As Michael Jay would say later today, I'm sure maybe sometime during the road to Damascus, Michael Jay may say public serpents today. Anyway, come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. I heard from Dr. James Fetzer earlier this morning. And he has, I guess he has some legal stuff he's taking care of, and for a appeal for reconsideration. And he didn't know if he'd be back in time to come to make the show at noon. So, you know, we may have a big time drag out, call in. Happy hour. No, we'll have a show at noon, okay? I don't know what topic it will be. It'll probably be, you know, maybe something will develop between then and there, because, hey, it's at noon, 9 Pacific, 9 a.m. Pacific time. So come on down and join us for the raw deal. So I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Putin declares in a rant to the world that the Western domination is over and calls for a new world order. New world order. That's Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. Come on. Let's get it right. The new world order is the new British prime minister, okay? Hey, you effing knuckleheads. It's Justin Trudeau. You know, Justin Trudeau. Castro's little boy. If he isn't, he sure acts like his daddy. Meanwhile, in the United States of America, in El Paso, Texas, the mayor says the White House asked him or asked them not to declare an immigration disaster as border crossings spike. Border Patrol agents in the El Paso, Texas area have apprehended more than 38,500 illegal immigrants since October the 1st. This was during the first 3 weeks. That's 13,000 illegal immigrants a week coming from around the world, walking across the border, and then say, here I am. I need a card. I need a check. I'll go through your little system and then just, you know, release me into the wild America. The White House, again, attempting to rig the election using the power of the federal government to essentially squash and control localities along the border and have them remain silent. Have them remain silent. It truly is a sad state of affairs. In September alone, more than 20,000 Venezuelan nationals turned up in El Paso. And you know what should have happened? They all should have been piled on an airplane and flown their ass back to Venezuela within 24 hours. We should have flights going around the world taking some bitches back to whence they came from. And of course, the country they came from gets the bill. If you want to apply for asylum in the United States, get in one of the embassies. Do it through a border crossing area. Everybody knows that this is all about destroying America. As we know that the flood of Africans, North Africans, and people from the Middle East, all the way over to Ukraine, all the way down to Syria, all the way across to Libya and Tanzania, you know, they're all being pushed into the EU to destroy the European culture. Here in the United States, Americanism and America is being, well, diluted and destroyed. It's like a national gerrymandering program. And you know what's really sick and disgusting? Is that the countries where these people come from, okay? The countries where the people that have some money, evidently, because they're paying somebody and some mules or somehow to get the hell here, right? They have drive. They have ambition. They are working to make better for their families in some cases. In some many cases, it's just young men trying to find a life and trying to find a white wife, maybe. Hell, I don't know. I don't. All I know is they're not supposed to be here legally. They're not supposed to be here to dilute the pool of workers that are here already, that are already underpaid. New York City bitches and moans when they get a few thousand illegal immigrants, let alone 13,000 a week. Or 400,000 a year, if you think about it. If you're getting 40,000 a month. Liberals would demand something be done. If 50,000 illegal immigrants, if they just kept coming in on freighters into Baltimore Harbor, okay, and join the rest of the Baltimoreans. You know, if they all came in on airplanes and just landed at JFK and said, I'm here, it's the District of Criminals, I'm at home. You're stealing the best and the brightest, those with the most drive to succeed from countries that desperately need those people to pull together and change the country that they came from. Do you really want somebody here in the United States or in the U.S. military that they ran from their previous country? They escape. Instead of fighting for their country to make it better, they effectively escaped. They call it escaped. We escaped. We escaped. No, you ran away, dude. All those dudes that are coming across the border to work, they're not coming across to escape. To escape. Hell, they didn't even fight to start with. Anyway, illegal immigration. It's maddening what is being allowed today and what passes for so-called border security by the Biden administration. Kamala Harris, they should be more than ashamed of themselves. Yeah. Big Pharma. Smearing doctors who expose the propaganda. Here you go.
America, if you had a guest on, they would make sure they have what they call trusted messengers.
Well, how has this happened in our world?
So they would place it. Well, I'll give an example. Dr. Asim Malhotra, who's put his head above the parapet.
Yeah.
And he spoke to a parliamentary committee on Thursday. And straight away, the machine starts, and he's been smeared on social media.
Wow.
I mean, there was one doctor has called out the Royal College of Physicians and saying, this man is dragging your name through the mud by spreading anti-vax lies. Now, why would a senior surgeon, with all his experience, risk his career?
With everything to lose, yes.
Mm. But also, he's seen a huge increase in cardiac arrests, 14,000 extra from 2021 to 2020. And surely he is enhancing the medical profession by speaking up and saying, I care about patients, there's something wrong here. Now, Neil, I'm not saying we're right or wrong, and I'm not a medical person, but what I am is a fair play journalist, and surely this debate should be had if there is questions around.
In the making of this, was it possible, how easy was it to get medical professionals to speak on the other side of the argument, which is to say to allow for the possibility that there was a major problem.
Dr. Asim Mahatra calls it willful ignorance. I can't remember the second name, but they willfully stepped aside from it because they've been responsible for rolling out this jab and going along with it. It's a bit like it's a company line. Doctors have been following the company line. They're told by the MHRA, they're told by the government that all these things are safe, and they've been going ahead without questioning it. There are different groups of doctors who have spoken out, and they found life very difficult.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. If you speak up and tell the truth about the vaccine and how dangerous it really is, I was talking with someone yesterday. And you know what? They never knew or understood what myocarditis or what pericarditis is and how it's related to the vaccine. And this person is having some heart problems. Now, they have diabetes and they have lots of other health issues. And of course, they're all vaxxed up. And said she's going to get her booster. And I said, please don't. I begged her. I said, please don't. I don't believe you should, but it's your personal choice if you choose. But I forewarn you that it's not as safe as you've been told. And she hasn't been told any of this. She knows nothing about any of this. Anything about any potential side effect from COVID. People have been essentially led down a dark hole, and they've been lied to, and they don't know exactly what the truth is anymore. And because they don't know, who do they turn to? They turn to the government medical professionals. Because everybody would say the government would never lie to us, would they? Yeah. Anyway, it's a sheer crazy thing. Here is RFK Jr. I may have played this yesterday, but it's as applicable today, probably more, because of the conversations that are going on. Okay? Here's RFK Jr.
People have this feeling that everybody got vaccinated and COVID now is not as dangerous as it used to be. So the vaccine must have done it. And the vaccine must be saving lives. But I have not seen any data that shows that. And, you know, those kind of data are easy to get. But what we're seeing for example, from the insurance industry, from the CDC, as you point out, is either deliberately or because of incompetence. They're not producing the kind of data that would allow us to do rational decision-making as individuals or as a nation. And that's been one of the most disturbing features of the government management of this pandemic is the obfuscation about good information. But there's a number of people now who have gone out to, and Ed Dowd is one of them, who's, you know, the BlackRock executive, former BlackRock executive, who's gone out to the insurance industry. And the insurance industry is panicked about this because they're seeing a 40% rise in unexplained deaths, in excess deaths. And they're occurring in young people in 2022. So over 2021. The number of people who are dying since mass vaccination is much higher than the people who are dying from COVID. And,
okay, but wait, because this is what doctors will say.
There's a number of other ways.
We don't know if it's the vaccine or deaths of despair or, you know, drug overdoses. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be from COVID. if it's not the vaccine, but it could be from a whole host of other things that have been caused during the pandemic.
A whole host of other things, and we ought to have that data. We ought to know that. Yeah. Why is CDC discouraging coroners and morticians and public health authorities from doing autopsies on people whose deaths are suspect? You know, there's a deliberate obfuscation of data that we've seen from the beginning of the pandemic. But there's a lot of other kind of data sources that appear to indicate, Megan, that the vaccine is causing more deaths and injuries than it is averting.
And that's absolutely true. There are studies from Israel and Japan that have found that the incidences of myocarditis, pericarditis, have jumped essentially in the age group of younger kids from 19 to 40 some, right? No, I'm 62. Okay, so here you go. From 4 in 1 million to more than 25,000 in 1 million cases post vaccine. Now, you know, the only major thing that we saw was this, what we saw was this spike after the vaccine started. You can't talk about it. They're trying to cover it up statistically. The vaccine itself was only checked to see if it would create a spike protein within the blood, and beside that, all of the efficacy and all of the real data of who got sick, when they got sick, what they got sick from, and all this, we're not really sure. I don't trust a damn thing these people say. And Brooke Jackson, if you don't know who Brooke Jackson is, whistleblower about the Pfizer clinical trials. Okay. She and her attorney, Robert Barnes, and Viva Fry is also working to represent her. And I, you know, in all honesty, I will say that I'm prefaced because Robert Barnes once represented me in Virginia courts. Myself, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, the Green Party, the Independent Green Party, I believe, was also involved, and some other independent candidates. And, you know, we got a one-third, basically, reduction, and two-thirds reduction in the signatures needed to get on the ballot. Anyway, here's a short clip, I guess. I don't know how short it is. But it'd take a minute for it to load because it's on rumble.com where they allow true freedom of speech, not cut you off because you say COVID on your
Brooke Jackson
YouTube
was all
channel.
Over social media. What's going on? Because it's big stuff.
So what happens when you file a False Claims Act is you're a whistleblower who has seen the American people scammed and you file a claim in court under the False Claims Act, the federal law, and that on behalf of the people, they've been scammed. Now, what the law allows is for the U.S. government to take over the case if they want. And in that aim, if the government looks at the case and they say, oh, this is a credible case, there's a legal grounds here, we need time to investigate in secret. And so we don't want the defendant to know that we're investigating. So judge, seal everything. Now, critics have pointed out that one of the great dangers of this is that the government, particularly in cases where they may be culpable or complicit themselves, government officials and bureaucrats and agents, in the corruption that's being exposed, will use the seal process to hide from the public the information the whistleblower has. What happened here is Brooke Jackson filed her claim fall of 2020 before all the vaccines start rolling out and hitting everybody around the globe. The government comes in. Justice Department says, oh, this is a serious case. Judge, you got to seal all this. We need time to investigate in secret. They do this for more than a year. Supposedly, they're investigating during this time frame. Then the government decides, okay, we're not going to intervene in the case. We'll let Brooke Jackson's lawyers take lead. So Pfizer comes in and says, judge, please, please, please don't allow any discovery. And after the judge says, oh, I'm not going along with that. I'm going to allow discovery. Pfizer then comes back and begs again, complains about me making statements in the court of public opinion about what's going on and about Brooke Jackson making public statements. And all of a sudden the judge is like, oh, we got to shut down this discovery for the time being. But despite that, okay, it is what it is. The judge says he's only going to rule on the merits. I take him at his word. Pfizer files a motion to dismiss. We file our response. Their whole argument is, hey, the government would have given us the $2 billion anyway. It doesn't matter if we broke every clinical trial rule in the book, even though these rules and regulations are about making sure that this drug is safe, effective, and an actual vaccine that inoculates against transmission of a disease. So what Brooke Jackson witnessed is the clinical trials were a joke, one big fat fraud.
One big fat fraud. Yeah. Hey, stick that in your arm. As far as I'm concerned, you can stick it up here where the sun don't shine. Hey, have your coffee. Hey, hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody over here in the Revolution Radio chat room. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Remember, we are listener supported and commercial free. So join us, ladies and gentlemen, and help us and support us. Good morning to Mega Logos and Fleeced and Judson Dial Navy. Mega Logos, Malaya, all over there in the chatsy chat room. Was that Popsicle Toes down there at the bottom? Heck, I'm not sure. Anyway, I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. Remember to tell your friends and your neighbors about Revolution Radio. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, and get unscripted truth. God bless you. We'll be right back after these station promotions.
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Don't miss the Crick Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4am Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association.